This is a DJBooth.net exclusive interview.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Z doing it real big, and joining me inside the DJ booth is a Miami native with a taste for females who wear red bottoms. Still not famous, but we have a feeling he will be pretty soon. Please welcome Ghost Rider. How you doing?
I'm good, my brother. Everything is good, man. Can't complain. You know what I mean? Enjoying this beautiful day in Miami. Nice and sunny down here.
You must have pushed some of that Miami sun our way, because it's nice in Chicago, too, for like the first time in months.
That's good. It's beautiful, man. I mean, we got enough sun to share with everybody. It's just very hot down here. So, you know, somebody, y'all deserve that. As cold as I heard it gets in Chicago, yeah. Y'all need that.
Yeah, we do. And thank you very much for that. And for joining me inside the booth for the interview.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me, brother.
Absolutely. Before I immersed myself into the music business, and more specifically, hip-hop culture, the first I had ever heard of the term ghostwriter was on a TV show, which aired in the early 90s. It was a kid's show, kind of like an educational mystery collabo, if you will. Now, I know from reading your bio that you earned your stage name because you pen verses for all your friends growing up, and that's who they deemed you as. But if you want to admit to the world that it's really because of the same TV show I watched, I won't laugh at you.
Nah, you know what? At the end of the day, you know, people get that confused, man. They always think I'm talking about the dude who rides on a bike with his skull on fire. I'm like, nah, like, I just changed the spelling, man, but it ain't that, man. A lot of people get it confused. So I'm glad right now on the show I get a chance to clear that up, you know what I mean? And it's not about the show, even though it was a great show. You know what I mean? Great movie, but it wasn't that. That wasn't my inspiration for it.
All right. Glad we got that out of the way. Now, you caught our attention early last year, right before you released the internet-acclaimed 305s and Heartbreak. When you put that project together, which is a spinoff, obviously, of Kanye's 808s and Heartbreak.
Correct.
Did you think it was going to garner the attention that it received, or were you just having fun, showcasing your skills, and then the next thing you know, boom, spotlight's on you?
You know what? Honestly, when I did the project, I didn't have many expectations for it. Like, I wanted to do a mixtape that wasn't the average, though. You know what? Let me rap over every industry beat that's hot and on the radio right now. Like, I wanted, when I do things, I want to make sure I do something that's going to stand out and that's something that's going to be memorable, man, and people can hold on to and say, you know what? This is something that's new and fresh. I thumbed through a bunch of different of my favorite albums at the time. You know what I mean? I thought about, you know what? A lot of people had a lot of mixed feelings about this 808 and Heartbreak project. A lot of people didn't like the singing. Within that conversation, I wanted to place myself in that, and I just took that whole project, picked my favorite Kanye records, and made instrumentals out of them, and I rapped on it just out of loving what I do, you know what I'm saying? Not having any expectations for it, you know what I mean? I would hope that everyone loved it, but at the end of the day, like, you know what I mean? It was just me, you know, making good music.
Do you ever keep a copy in your back pocket in case you bump into Kanye in an industry event?
Nah, you know, I don't, but that's a good idea. I think I need to start doing that. You know what I mean? I'm going to note that. I definitely need to start doing that. I mean, I don't know if he's heard it to this day, but he will. I promise you, I'm sure he will.
I suggested the CD. You might want to go with a zip drive or jump drive. It's smaller. You won't crush it if you sit down on it. That'd probably be a better idea also.
Right. Definitely. Good advice from DJ Booth.
Absolutely. Now, a few years ago, I know that you temporarily moved north from Miami to New York. Having since moved back to the 305, what did you learn from your time while in New York, arguably the mecca of the music industry, so to speak? And in hindsight, do you view your time in the Big Apple as a success or a failure because it was only a few years?
I know, man. In hindsight, you know what? When I sit down and I think about it, I learned how to hustle in that city, man. Like, when I come out there, like, when I tell you, like, there's a brother on every corner selling a sock, a shoe, a CD, a belt. The hustle in New York is incredible. And if I could say one thing about that city, is that they breed hustlers, man. One thing I learned and I got from being out there from one of my mans is like, yo, you know what? You out here, you fresh, you a fresh face. Nobody knows you. Get out here on these corners with us, man, and to pass your CDs out. You know what I mean? I tried it. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it wasn't my thing to stand out there on the corners, but I tried to grind. And you know what I mean? I learned a lot as far as the hustle tip goes.
Well, I also read that while you were there, you took the initiative to start your own label, Life Music Group, and Life stands for Live Your Future Every Day, which I love. I love that. Obviously, as I'm sure you would agree with me, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say just live your future every day. But I know for a lot of people who are going through a struggling, hard time, it's hard to actually think it and then do it. How do you make sure that you actually, in your life, follow that acronym?
I think about, like, every single day when I wake up, honestly, after I say my prayers, that's the only thing on my mind. Like, my tomorrow's on my mind, because within this very second, as soon as you ask me this question, that moment is over. It's the past. Every single day, I walk with that, you know what I mean, on my shoulder, every day of my life. Like, that's on my mind. I have a brother, you know what I'm saying, that's in prison, that comes home in a year, you know what I mean? I got things I got to set up for him, you know what I mean? I got a lot of people that's dependent on me in this situation, you know what I mean? Not just financially, but emotionally as well, so... Like, that's what it's about for me. So every day I wake up doing that. It's more than just an acronym. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's bigger than that for me. It's what I live. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You mentioned your brother briefly, and I know that he's been in prison for most of your life. Having maintained a relationship with him throughout the years that you guys have been apart, how have his stories, his advice, his wisdom helped to shape both you as a person and the landscape of your music?
I mean, first and foremost, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but my brother used to rap. So, you know, he was one of the driving inspirations for me as an artist. You know what I mean? Like, he was like the first person that I seen pick up a pen and write music. So he inspired me to do what I'm doing right now. I guess, you know what I'm saying, with his situation being in prison, like, that situation kept me out of prison. Him being there and his words and him telling me, listen, man, I've been here 15, 16 years of my life, you know what I mean? And when I come out, I'm almost 40. Like, this is not what you want. You talk about the future every single day of your life. My future's here in this box. You know what I'm saying? And those words, you know, they kept me out. It kept me out of prison. It kept me out of the streets. It kept me out of, you know, situations that could have possibly put me in a box.
When you talk to your brother about what you're doing in your life right now with your career, does he have an idea of where you're really at based upon the fact that he's so far removed from where the record industry's at in 2010, or does he have a pretty good idea?
Hey, believe it or not, man, there's some dudes in prison that can tell you what's going on, like, next week, and you might not even know about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no clue. Like, they're really in touch with the streets in there. So, like, in prison, like, he's in a federal prison, so in prison, you know, he's got the radio stations, you know what I mean? He gets the Vibe magazines. He gets certain publications that come in there, so...
And then when he's out, what we can do is we can petition the prison to allow all the inmates at least 1 hour a day to log on to DJBooth.net so they can stay in tune with what's going on in life and music.
See, that's what we need. That's what they need. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. Like, if you go to any site, make sure you go to DJBooth.net. Real shit.
Now, it all makes sense because you have titled your upcoming project In Love With My Future. And as I'm sure you'll agree, as we grow older, our expectations of which we hold for the future, they constantly evolve, they constantly mature and change. So right this very second, describe the future as you foresee it, in which you would find yourself in love with it.
Man, what a question. You know what? I would say this to sum it all up. I just want to be successful. As long as I've done something better than I did yesterday, I'm good with that. You know what I mean? Like, I want a Grammy. You know what I'm saying? If I don't get it tomorrow, I'm not mad at it. If I get it in 10 years, I'm good. But at the end of the day, as long if I didn't get a Grammy and I got an MTV award next week, or I got a BET award next week, as long as I'm progressing and I'm moving forward, I'm a success.
Absolutely. And that answer parlays us perfectly into my next question. My personal favorite record of yours to date, and I have not listened to your entire catalog, so it's from a smaller sample size, is the recently on DJBooth.net charted Still Not Famous. In the song, you keep it really, really real and discuss what doesn't make someone famous, because I think the perception in this industry is that you don't really need to do much to be a name. Ghost, do you believe that vulnerability and candidness are two of your strongest musical traits?
You know what? You're absolutely right. I do, because I leave myself open for my fans when I write my music. I don't wanna paint that same beautiful picture that everybody paints as an artist and to have someone else under me think that, oh, this is what it is, this is all I need to get fans. Like, it's not that easy, you know what I'm saying? So I just wanna give people my real life, like my real stories. I want them to feel like they can come tap me on my shoulder and ask me a question. And if I have to do that lyrically, or if I have to do that, you know what I mean, even having a conversation with the next person, that's what I want to do.
In the comment section for the Still Not Famous feature, one of our regular members, Mr. Top Hat, who hails from India, he wrote, "This record, it's not for playback for mere entertainment's sake, but rather something that provides a close, rich, and fulfilling listening experience." When you hear that your music literally can change a person's life, what does that feel like?
Like, it's indescribable, because I don't, when I write my music, I don't have expectations, you know what I mean, for it. Like, I just put it out, because, and I put out what I'm going through. But it's like, you know what I mean, music is such a beautiful thing, because when, like you say, somebody in India, if it can reach somebody that's going through the same thing and that can fully understand what I'm doing my job. And it's beautiful, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still to this day, when I see comments, when I read the comments on your site, And I see the kind of love and support I'm getting, it still shocks me to this day. Like, I, you know what I mean, I go down, I go through some of the comments with my brother. Oh, this is crazy. See what this guy put. And he's like, why is that surprising to you? And I'm like, because still, each and every day, no matter what, nobody has to take the time out to write anything. And if they do, 9 times out of 10, it's something that you're not going to like about yourself. You know how the haters do on the web. You know what I'm saying?
They work much harder than the people who like you.
Exactly. It's a feeling I still haven't gotten over yet. I hope that I don't ever lose that feeling. I don't want to get comfortable with comments or what people say about my mouth. I never want to get comfortable with it. I would love to have that feeling for the rest of my life.
That's interesting you mentioned comfort. What do you think you need to do as an artist to never get complacent? Because I've heard other artists that I've done interviews with years ago say something similar, and in, you know, recent years they've seen lots of success and they've changed, and I'm sure it's easy to change. It's probably easier to change than it is to stay the same. So how do you avoid that?
I mean, you know what, honestly, man, to answer your question 100% honest, I wouldn't know. I've never touched $100 million before. I've never touched $1 million before.
Sure.
So I don't know what it feels like, you know what I mean, to transition from being a guy who's making, you know, maybe $2,000 or $3,000 a show to making $100,000 a show. But at the end of the day, $200 million can make you feel real comfortable. It can make you feel like you ain't got to do shit ever again in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if you get that rich, I'd like for you to make me feel more comfortable too. So you can share some of that.
exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, the other song that we featured that garnered some attention, both for the right and wrong reason, is Red Bottoms. Now, it's no surprise the word got out around the net, the situation that occurred between you and Don. But ultimately, in the end, it's created a great opportunity for you. And I know that Don is on board to executive produce the new project. So describe how this all came to fruition now, and how you feel about it moving forward.
You know, I got the record, you know what I mean, at Po' Boy. I rapped on the record. They thought it was incredible. They loved it. They explained to me, okay, you know, we're going to reach out to Don and his people and make sure it's clear. Everything's a go. So me, being in artist mode and not in business mode, which I'll never do again, you know, we released the record, and I did it blindly. Okay, fool, they're going to take care of it. I'm not going to worry about the business end. And when we put it out, you know what I'm saying, like, Cannon spazzed out on his Twitter. Now I'm on the phone trying to reach out to my people. You know what I mean? I sent the record out to you. You know what I mean? I'm just grateful to God that didn't tarnish my relationship with DJ Booth. And, you know, it turns out that beat was already sold to Rich Hill, Tommy Hilfiger's son. When I actually got Cannon on the phone, you know what I mean? I think you guys actually made that happen for me as well. It was incredible from there. Like, you know, he actually heard the record, thought it was great. You know what I mean? He thought it was so good that he offered the kid Rich Hill a few more, like, 2 or 3 beats to get that one beat back for me. And from there, the rest is history, man. He's executive producing the project. He's working on my actual album. You know what I mean? Right now, with the situation that I got going on with these labels. So we got some good situations going on, man. Cannon has turned out to be a really great guy.
Absolutely. Well, everyone is looking forward to the release of your new album, In Love With My Future. Give everybody some more information on how they can find out about you, the upcoming project, and your bright future.
My bright future. I pray it continues to stay that way. You know, what you can do is you can go to www.ghostwriter.com. I just launched a new website. You know what I mean? That's ghostwriter.com. It'll be available there exclusively on djbooth.net and on my site. Be on the lookout for that. It's dropping in June. I might drop it on the same day that Drake and Game drops. I'm ready and I'm excited. This project is something that I stand behind. I love the records that we've made so far. Great responses. I'm ready to go.
I love how excited you sound about everything, and that certainly has me very excited. I thank you so much for taking the time to join me inside the DJ booth for the interview, and as always, I wish you nothing but the best of luck, Ghost.
Hey, my brother, thank you, you know me, for having me, and I appreciate it. So we going in, man. Just, you know, make sure you amp everybody up and let everybody know on djbooth.net I'm coming.